Get the word on your region with the Waikato Times. The Saturday edition includes a full Community Radio Hamilton program listing for the coming week, featuring more than 100 programs by, for, and about our community. Plus, catch up on the latest local, national, and international news in the Waikato Times, as Waikato as it gets.
Find your place online at communityradio.co.nz. Tune into our live stream or download podcasts on demand 24/7. Once you've found what you're looking for, subscribe via iTunes or use our RSS feeds, and you'll never miss another show on Community Radio Hamilton.
Join us anytime at your place. Listen to our 24/7 live stream and on-demand podcasts at communityradio.co.nz.
Do you read me? Loud and clear. Music to rock the nation.
What is the word?
The word is love, life, dignity, creation, Rastafari. Those are the words, many words, that means progressiveness.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, Jah created the heaven and the earth. Then created man of his own likeness. Gave unto man wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Jah is my help and my strength, so shall I fear. He's a shield upon my right and my left hand, so whom shall I be afraid? Jah is my king. Jah is my light and my salvation, so who shall I fear? He's my guide throughout this creation, so whom shall I be afraid? Jah is my king. Jah is my guide in my resting and my rising, so whom shall I fear? He's my guide when I step out and forward in, so whom shall I be afraid? Jah is my king. Jah is my guide when Philistines come down upon me, so who shall I fear? He's my guide when my enemies come to devour me, so who shall I be afraid?
Jah is my keeper.
Jah is my guide from the pestilence of darkness. So who shall I fear? He's my guide from the vampire.
Jah is my
Hello, this is Lakeisha Kumbo. Thank you for having me on Reggae Culture Community Radio Hamilton. It's a good thing to listen to.
Thank you. Hi there, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Reggae Culture Show tonight on Community Radio Hamilton. Tonight we got part two of an interview with Fakisha Combo. Part one was last week. If you missed it, go to www.communityradio.co.nz and look up the Reggae Culture Show, find the archive page there, and you can never miss an episode of the Reggae Culture. So last week we had Fakisha Combo, and this week she's doing a book reading. As far as I understand, I don't think she has ever read a chapter on Peter Tosh. I think she's only ever read twice before, and she is doing a special tonight for the Reggae Culture Show. Whole chapter speaking about Peter. I'm not going to interrupt, I'm just going to let her run, and we're going to enjoy this special with Peter Tosh, wrapping it up later on. In the background at the moment we have Burial dub version, and up before that we had that classic track of Peter Tosh, Creation. Remember, if you like the Reggae Culture Show, find us on Facebook and like us. Always spread and share the information about the Reggae Culture Show. I appreciate everyone that does that. Also, remember, we're still looking for a promoter to help us bring Roger Steffens back to tour around New Zealand in 2012, if that's possible. So if you are a promoter or you know of a promoter, let us know here at the Reggae Culture Show and we will help get that arranged. We would love to see Roger come back to New Zealand, tour around, talking about the life of Bob Marley, Peter Tosh, and everything reggae. So this is episode 16, Fakisha Combo, part 2. Do you want to do a reading from the book on Peter?
Yeah. The critics seem to like, the ones who have critiqued the book, seem to like this chapter a lot. And this is a chapter of me spending time with Peter in Jamaica. You know? So here we go. It's called Cool Runnings. Peter, back a yard. It's springtime 1977. My friend Ruth Levin, the only Caucasian Rastafarian I know, works for a magazine called Head. She calls and asks me if I can do a story on Peter Tosh in Jamaica. Head wants a photojournalist cover story with Peter sitting in a ganja field, similar to the photograph of him on the cover of his Legalize It album. Yes, I want the job. I call Ozzy Brown, who's involved in Peter's management, and make arrangements to go to Jamaica to spend a few days with Tosh in late April. On Air Jamaica, I'm in the front row, behind first class. I stand out among the passengers with my red ankle-length African print skirt and rows of colorful beads in my freshly corn-rolled hair. A smartly dressed corporate-type young lady walks back from the first class section. Our eyes meet instantly, and we exclaim practically simultaneously, "Wow, you look great!" This is the beginning of a fast and lasting friendship between Maxine Walters and me. She is just finishing her work for Air Jamaica and is now on her way home after traveling months from continent to continent. When we get to Kingston, she says, "Come with me to my place. Peter can come for you there." "I'd love it," I reply, smiling. It's Saturday in Kingston. The 90-degree weather is heady, almost succulent. Maxine's house is surrounded by lush green shrubbery of thick, fleshy leaves and mango trees. Everything I've envisioned about life in a tropical paradise. Maxine and I laugh a lot and talk about our mutual friends while she changes into shorts and a blouse. Ozzy and Peter arrive, strolling leisurely into Maxine's house as if they our longtime friends. Maxine says, "Hail, Dreds," in her effusive, welcoming manner, busily preparing a platter of cheese, crackers, guava jelly, and fo-tai tea. With Tosh and Ozzy is Wyalindo, keyboard player with Peter Tosh's band, Word Sound and Power. Wy is also one of the original Wailers. We spend several hours reasoning, laughing, and enjoying each other. Peter and Ozzy and Y and I leave Maxine's house and stop by Lee's Hillside home. There was talk of a Brazilian Caribbean tour of management, of a musical director, and of a Jamaican distributor. Ozzy says that by now, Peter can practically name his figure for the tour that begins in July, since down in South America, they are anxious for hear reggae. We make another stop to hear a tape of Bob Marley's new album, Exodus. The tune, Natural Mystic, is a sure-fire hit, I am thinking. Bob is selling tons of records for the Island record label, and everyone is talking about how Island charted a flight to Paris with 120, quote, movie stars, end quote, just to experience the opening of his world tour. After our Exodus stop, Peter and the others drop me off at Kingston Sheraton Hotel in the New Kingston area, just in time for me to get dressed for Roberta Flack's show at the National Stadium tonight. At the stadium, Maxine and I run into Peter, Ozzy, Robbie Shakespeare, and a whole bunch of music people. It's fun mixing with the Jamaican crowd and taking pictures. Back at the Sheraton by 3 a.m., I fall in bed exhausted, but mellow from the day's positive vibrations. Sunday, 11 o'clock in the morning, Peter and Wyatt sit waiting for me in Tasha's green English-made Hunter sedan that shines and glistens like the morning sun. It is adorned with emblems of a lion, a Zimbabwe, Ethiopia, and other stickers of African countries. Ozzy is here, too. I get into Ozzy's little rental car, and with Peter leading the way, we're off. As Peter looms down the highways, people yell out his name and shout short sentences to him. He waves and yells back in patois, telling them in his own way, I'm struggling too, just like you. Tosh is probably the most powerful reggae roster on the scene in Jamaica at this time, for Marley has left Jamaica after an attempt was made on his life. And it is Peter the people see traveling the byways of Yard, shouting his hellos and how are you in patois. And they love him. They hear him say, I love Jamaica. When I'm in America, I fret. Soon Peter is speeding down the mountainside as we trail behind. Only the glistening of the little green top in the distance lets us know that he is still within reach. We arrive at the Coronation Market a bit after him and Waya. Peter goes from vendor to vendor, picking up pineapples and grapefruits, keeping up his nonstop patois talking with the friendly vendors. I follow behind, taking pictures of this rebel poet, who is so much the man of the people. But the people, tired of being treated as curiosity subjects for tourists, resent photographers. Don't do that, people yell at me when I try to take a photo. A fierce-looking guy brandishing a big machete gesticulates threateningly toward me, muttering in heavily accented patois. He demands that I stop taking pictures. Now. Peter intercedes, telling them that he is the one being photographed. They drop all the argument and go about their business as I continue to shoot. Soon we're back on the road, off to the fresh fish market, located some distance away on Greenwich Road. Tosh and Oz join a bunch of people picking up fish from a big barrel of fresh catch. People come to the waterfront to bargain for these fresh goodies, gathering at the water's edge, choosing what they want to purchase. Peter gets a bunch of sparkling-looking fish still jumping and snapping. I'm a bit gun-shy after the nasty machete incident in the food market, and although I really hate missing good shots, I put my camera away. In the sweltering sun, fat, nasty-looking little piglets nibble and scurry about, running into the shade areas to defecate. Peter and Oz laugh and say, all kinds of creatures make up the earth, each doing his own thing. on the road again. This time we're headed toward Peter's home in Spanish Town. The original name of Jamaica was Zamaca. That's X-A-Y-M-A-C-A. Named by the indigenous tribes who lived here, the Arawaks, who were exterminated by the Spanish after they arrived in 1494, thanks to Columbus. The Spanish ruled until 1655, when they were forced out by the British. Spanish Town was the capital city, built when there were horse-drawn carriages. The streets were narrow with gutters that ran along the sides for free-flowing water. These canal-like gutters also carried the town's waste. In the early morning hours, the town's people woke to the sounds of men wearing tall boots sweeping this sewage right along. Now in the mid-70s, Peter Tosh lives at 7 Renford Drive, Insom City, a new housing community in Spanish Town. We dash up mountainsides and around narrow, winding roads. Ozzy implores every ounce of his driving skill to keep up with Tosh's gleaming little green hornet in the distance out front. Peter stops on a dime at a mango stand. The mango looked too good to pass by, he chuckles, as he sticks his hand into his pocket to pay for a half dozen sweet ones. We arrive at Tosh's home, made of green stucco, with its red, gold, and green gate. Peter's puppy comes out to greet him. He drops to his knees and tickles and fondles him. He immediately heads to the backyard where he keeps a large birdcage of turtle doves and other birds. But Freddy, his pet parrot, lives freely in the yard. When Peter holds up his hand, Freddy comes flying and lands on his arm. Tosh takes out a match, puts some marijuana buds into his chalice, and lights it. He puffs up, stopping each time to blow smoke into Freddy's face, sharing his ganja with the parrot while they chat back and forth in patois. Tosh has loved birds and mangooses from childhood. He caught them in the wild and brought them home. That is how he acquired all the birds except Freddy. Yet another large bird cage sits with resident birds sit inside the cool, semi-dark house. The cage stands near a big speaker with its exposed tweeters. Birds and music appear to be the two things Peter Tosh loves the most. His fascination with birds leads to his obsession with flying. He talks about going to cliffs and flying off, adamantly insisting that the elder Rastafari knew how to fly and how it is now a lost art. Another dread, the cook, comes out of the house, takes a fish from Peter, and begins preparing it. He guts, seasons, and lays it to rest on a piece of tin over a wood fire. Two men with a young boy come by the road selling coconuts from an old rickety wagon powered by two donkeys. Ozzy gets up on the wagon and Peter orders a couple. The older man hacks them open with his machete. We all stand around drinking and enjoying the coconut milk, the coconut water. Peter tells us it goes straight to the heart. Later, Peter juices Nesberry, pineapple, plum, and papaya, adding honey and cow's milk. Together we enjoy this sumptuous drink. Then he changes from his military jacket to his karate gi. I take more shots. In fact, I'm so busy with the camera, I forget to get my share of the fish. And Peter, Ozzy, Wire, and the cook polish off everything. Peter then stands in his driveway examining a bag of lamb's bread herb, gourmet red and gold marijuana loaded with thick buds. Tosh brings out a long sugarcane stalk. He sits next to me in the yard, smiling and smoking a big spliff while I gnaw on this big stalk. At midday, it's blistering outside, but comfortable inside his cool, dark house. His cluttered kitchen brims with objects collected from all over the world. Presiding over all of this is a full upper torso picture of Emperor Selassie I of Ethiopia, hanging on his living room wall near his birds and his speakers. Peter picks up his guitar and plays and sings Mark of the Beast. We spend a few hours at Tasha's home before Ozzy takes me back to the Sheraton. Monday. Yesterday, Peter said he would soon come get me for the trip to look for a ganja field where we plan to shoot pictures of him sitting in an area of marijuana trees. "Me's an early bird," Peter told me. "Me gonna be here right on time. Me don't sleep. Me just rest airy." Today I wait and wait, but no Peter. I hear the thunderstorms flood Spanish Town, so Peter never comes. I go downstairs to the hotel lobby, hoping to find something to do or to bump into some company, but I'm shocked to find that the place is nearly deserted. Gone are the blustering crowds and activity of 1975 when people from the Sabres tennis tournament and musicians for the Dream Concert filled the hotel. At that time, Arthur Ashe, Stevie Wonder, actors Calvin Lockhart and Clarence Williams III, photographers, journalists, and paparazzi were all from all over the world lived here. Now it's just one big empty hotel. I go back to my room, sleep a lot, and watch the sun set behind the trees. Tuesday. In my hotel room, I'm waiting again for Peter. By 2 p.m., I'm starving, so I take a short walk down the road to get food. I'm gone about half an hour, but during that time, Peter comes and goes. Good Lord, another wasted day. Oz has left Jamaica, and Maxine has gone to the country. By 6 p.m., I'm sitting once again waiting for the sun to set. I hear a knock and run to the door, thinking it can only be Peter. It's Wyolin, though. He's decided to come check me. Wyolin's current lifestyle is that of a sufferer, a man who lives in the hills in a primitive mode, eschewing all modern conveniences such as electricity, showers, hair combs, shoes, and the like. In his house, there are no floors. In a true sense, cold ground is his bed, and rock stones are his pillows. I'm happy to see Wyatt, for even though I do not understand the sufferer decision, he is a talented keyboard man and my spiritual brother, whom I love despite his Bowery bum look and his strange way of living. Wahai, that's what we called him, was Wahai. Wahai, a cross between a real intellectual and a space cadet, offers a thousand odd opinions on just about everything. Oz introduced us in 1975 when he arranged for Wyatt to tour with Taj Mahal's band, giving Taj the authentic reggae sound he wanted. Wahai can be heard on Taj's Mo Roots album, on tunes like Slave Driver, Johnny Too Bad, and St. Kitts Woman. Back then, Wyatt was around 20, an immaculate dresser, sporting wide-brimmed African hats and colorful dashikis. We formed a spiritual brother-sister bond immediately and spent much time reasoning. He taught me a great deal about Rasta, Jamaica, and reggae music. The rhythmic organ and clavinet on most Wailers, Bob Marley and the Wailers, and Tasha's Equal Rights album is the work of this tall, sad-eyed, disheveled man standing in my doorway. Oh, by the way, I wanted to say to you, Equal Rights is also one of my favorite, if not the most favorite album. Back to the reading now. Hail Dread, I said, come on in. The time we spend together is lively. He talks about Peter's music. Quote, Peter's music is folkloric and deceptive, he tells me. It appears to be simple, but it's deep, because the more you listen, the heavier it gets. The rhythm is like a rhythmic melody because there's melody in the rhythm. So what happens is, to unfamiliar listeners, it may seem repetitive. You buy a disco record, and after a few weeks, you don't want to hear it. But Peter's music brings you back again, and you hear something else that you didn't hear before, end quote. He goes on to explain the effect of international exposure on the psyche of the Jamaican musician. Quote, it has awakened an underlying potential of the Jamaican music scene. The youth born with the inspiration can now see the full value of what they can do with their inborn talent. The music scene in Yard is hostile, is a hostile one, in that you must be strong-willed because it's the survival of the fittest, and it can discourage inborn potential. There's no need to talk about negativity without input of positivity. A voice from the outside can do a great deal to strengthen and shine light on the constant dialogue of existence, end quote. Bam, bam, bam! Suddenly someone is banging on the door, saying, open the door! It's Peter! Standing tall and slim, with that disarming smile that curves to the side of his face. He's wearing a green tam and a red, gold, and green pin that reads Legalize It attached to the front. His locks peeking out from underneath fall around his neck. His jeans hug his slender, muscular frame, and his deep blue long-sleeved shirt and red, gold, and green belt fit snugly. He is surprised to see Wire here. I'm sorry Wire is here. Peter's talking while I make an effort to correct myself. I try to make the best of the situation, rapidly putting my camera together, getting ready to shoot some pictures. I have never seen Peter look quite so handsome. Hey, hold on, I say to myself. I'm finding myself attracted to this guy. I shouldn't be. I can't be. Yet I feel drawn to his charismatic gestures, his look, his smile. I never really take any pictures. I'm all thumbs. Peter has come to tell me that he will be here early tomorrow so that we can go find the ganja field. Telephones are not easily accessible in Jamaica, and Peter doesn't have one in his home. So he has to come all the way from Spanish Town just to give me the message. People in Jamaica do not need telephones, he says. They can communicate mentally. Sometimes I want to see Bunny, and just like that, run into him. Peter stays about 20 minutes, then leaves, but not before I ask him to wear the same outfit tomorrow. Soon, Wahai and I are alone again, and he says to me, do you know what it means for Peter to come up in the Sheraton? Peter never comes to a hotel in Jamaica. He's never been in the Sheraton Hotel before. Yet he comes by to check you. Wahai leaves at midnight, and I get my photo equipment ready for the early morning shoot, all the while denying to myself my actual excitement about seeing Peter tonight and feeling glad he thought enough of me and the project to come by Wednesday. I wake to Jamaica, the sun and smiling Peter Tosh, waiting downstairs for me. His natty dreads stick out from beneath his green emblem tam. His clothes hug his long, slim, sensual frame. We're off to the shouts of greetings and applause. We weave through Kingston's crowded streets in his glimmering green car. Once we are out in the hills, he speeds around winding curves as though they're straightaways. I hold my breath, feeling my heart pounding. when he passes cars on the hill without an inkling of what is coming up on the other side. All the while, he's quiet, cool and collected, behind his welder's sunglasses. In his mouth, his constant companion, a pipe full of collie herb, and we speed along. Our first stop is Little Premier Plaza and Music Fair, a music distribution center and record shop, where Peter gets his calls. The plaza reminds me of a small mall in America. Peter goes inside and gets his business report from Barry, who runs the place. Presently, we're on the road again. Tosh is unusually quiet, seemingly pensive, but the music blasts from his car stereo. "This is wonderful," I exclaim about one hard-rocking song called Vampire. "Why don't you record this?" "In time, my dear," he replies, "in time." As we travel, he points out different sites of interest, filling me in on their history and background. We pass by villages with names like Innswood, Maypin, Clarendon. We see a small bedding and racing house, a healthcare center, a cargo train loaded with aluminum dirt. When we pass a paradise of palm trees, he points to a different type of tree, explaining that is called a cotton tree, a tree used for making canoes. High in the hills, the soil is red and rich, as though it has never been touched by man. We pull up on a dirt driveway and several men come out to greet us. They are heavily locked Rastafarians with massive natty locks. In fact, one guy's locked beard reaches down to his waistline. I look into the eyes of the older man and feel the antiquity of Rastafari. This is the first time I see Peter almost humbled and quietly subdued. The four men share a big chalice, sending pungent ganja smoke to first cover them, then float away like small clouds while they reason with each other. I look around the place, but all I can find is a small patch of ganja next to a cement wall. I summon Peter. He comes and sits down among the ganja plants for a picture, holding a half-eaten mango in his hand. Almost instantly, he lets out a scream. "What?" I exclaim. "It's a pigsty. It's full of pig shit," he yells. Suddenly, I can smell the stench from 8 feet away. I manage to get two or three hurried shots off before Peter jumps to his feet and scampers away. In a corn patch nearby, a Chinese man poses for my camera, smoking his chalice before he invites Peter to come to his home for some ganja. We follow him down country roads, flying 90 miles per hour, past fields of banana trees and rows of tall sugar cane. This is real country. Tosh's music blazes from his car stereo as we speed along. We reach the herd man's second floor dwelling and take seats on the back porch. The view of sky, mountains, and rolling hills of green is simply breathtaking. The Chinaman hauls out a big burlap sack of reddish herb. I shoot him and Peter laughing and playing with the ganja while they engage in spirited patois conversation. Peter rolls a big spliff using corn husk and rizla. Toying with the herb, he takes a large bud and puts it in his hair. He looks almost Mongolian with the diode symbol when the diode symbol is made by a unique fall of his locks. He appears at once vividly handsome, and then again extremely dangerous. Relaxed and mellow, he begins to tell fantasy stories as he looks out over the mountains. Quote, "I am looking forward to the day I fly," he says, pointing out over the mountain range, gesticulating as though he were a bird soaring on high. Quote, "I know one day that I will fly. People will see someone flying in the sky, and they will point up and say, 'Look, it's Peter Tosh, the man himself, you know.'" him take off like a bird and can stop in midair and survey the rim. Yes, I'm waiting for that day. Chinaman looks up from the big burlap sack of herb. He's busy sifting and pruning, grinning and nodding in agreement with Tosh. We leave the herb man's house and hit the road again. Peter begins talking about the herb. Quote, herb is one of Jamaica's international resources. See, Jamaica has the earth to produce the best herb in the West. I'm listening one day to see the first shipment legally leave this country, the same way rum or bauxite leaves. The many beatings I have suffered at the hands of the Jamaican police is for smoking herb, sometimes in my own yard. This leads to my fervent plea for the legalization of herb, for equal rights and justice. Tosh explains how Prime Minister Michael Manley interceded with the Jamaican radio and other authorities to have his tune legalized at play on the air. In appreciation, Tosh gave Manley 60 equal rights albums to distribute as he wished. Along the road, we stopped for Peter to buy 2 bottles of wood honey, one for himself and one for me. We continue driving, and he resumes talking about Jamaican society. Quote, there's plenty segregation in classes, he points out. The poor getting $12 a week can only have a bicycle. The pauper, him don't have nothing. Middle class, him live in Forest Hill Gardens, but him no rich, just trying to step up, trying to reach the top, but him don't know how far the top is from the bottom. Unquote. Jar guide pulsates from the exterior car radio. Intense and intoxicating. I'm not smoking any herb, but I'm feeling high and mellow. I'm listening to him, but I'm taken away by the beauty of Jamaica's countryside. Tosh continues, I was created to be with music, you know, seen? My music is message, and if it's not message, I don't bother saying it, seen? I don't want to get too revolutionary. I am revolutionary, but I don't want to go on the subversive side, you know, seeing. Music is a tree that groweth forth fruit, and the fruit is message. Music has made people to become fools, so it can make them wise. I will never stop singing my song, because that is the only kind of help I can render, he tells me as we sail along. I'm thinking as we travel that Tosh is an entertainer, leader, and folk hero. For when he roams the winding country roads and crowded city streets and yards, people flock to him for advice, a joke, or a smile, all of which he offers generously. Now we are at some rural railroad track, waiting for the Roots man to pass by. Roots is a tonic mixture made up of herbs and other special ingredients. It is used daily by many Rastas. The Roots man peers about 15 minutes, and Peter orders 2 bottles, one for each of us. The concoction is in a tall whiskey-shaped bottle, the same as the wood honey. This light brown stuff looks muddy. I tell Peter, it looks weird to me, but he says, never mind what it looks like, drink it, it's good for the body. After buying the Roots, we head back to his home in Spanish Town, where he takes a nap inside while I play with his puppy and in his garden, and then fall asleep myself on the grass near his herb plants after eating a large portion of his sweet potato pun that one of his lady friends has made for him. When he awakens from his slumber, he takes me back to the Sheraton. Thursday. Sure enough, Peter is an early riser. Here he is in from Spanish Town to pick me up at 8 a.m. for another trip to look for a real ganja field. But first he has to go check a few people in Kingston. He takes me to a building which he says was a Bucky Master house. That is where the slave master lived. Now I trot all over it, he says. The music of Steppin' Razor reverberates our inner sanctum of Peter's shiny green hornet. His welder's dark shades hide whatever the eyes might be saying. The herb pipe sits firmly in his mouth as we coast along the highway. Peter's not one for small talk, so now he begins to talk about his life's work. Quote, through the divine power of Jah, we are not here to fight physically, but to fight spiritual wickedness in high and low places. See, Earth is the headquarters of propaganda now, and news is rumor, and rumor is public mischief. Reggae is life, man. If you hear the roots, you love it. Reggae helps to wake up certain spirit vibrations within us and pull us back to God. We know that singing was a talent given to I and I by Jah from such time to wake up the slumbering mentality of people, bring them closer to reality. End quote. By now it's midday and we're in Ocho Rios. We travel up into the hills, stopping here and there. Children come out to greet Peter, to touch him, or to gawk at him curiously. After trying to convince several Rastas in different locations to let us photograph Peter in their ganja fields and getting a resounding no, we decide to settle for the picture at the pigsty. We leave Ocho Rios headed for Runaway Bay, where Maxine has arranged a waterfront cabin for me so that I can work on the statistic portion of my master's degree thesis, for I'm due to graduate next month. The road to Runaway Bay. We drive along quietly for a while. Then I ask Tosh, do you believe there is heaven? There is a heaven? Tosh, quote, heaven is right here. Here on Earth, man, he answers emphatically. Heaven is after humiliation, aggravation, and interrogation, unlawful laws and judgment. After those things comes the power of His Majesty. When you gain those things, that is heaven. See, you have to have faith in the works that you are doing, my dear. That you gain heaven. It not go up in no higher and higher height. It's just peace of mind, you know, see, love and unity and no aggravation. But it is not for one man. What does it profit one man to gain heaven when millions don't know the way to enter? It is up to that one man to teach others, give them encouragement. I say, you know, Peter, I hope the success that is sure to come to you will not change you. No, man, if me do that, me beg Jah to make a curse upon me, cause me can't forget Jah and my people and forget where me are come from. Jah knows me can't forget those things, he assures me. While Gladys Knight's tune, Midnight Train to Georgia, plays, Tosh talks about the fear and loathing people still have of the Rasta man. When I mentioned that I thought that all that had passed, he replies, what you talking about? Jah says, I call upon the youth, for they are strong. Jah say him take one out of every family, no matter how high them in society, you're going to find one son or daughter in them heart of heart, them going to find Rasta. End quote. I'm still shocked that things have not changed for the Rasta, to which he replies, I change it. Revolutionary. Word, sound, and power. I got a song that makes them heart quake. All them they call illiterate and underprivileged and all them things, yet I vindicate for them rights. Because them don't know them rights. If it wasn't for the Rasta man, them still be in fucking slavery. End quote. I asked how the Rasta has helped to change society. What do you mean, he asked me pointedly. With him music, his administration, him don't bow to society, how him live, everything, him religion, him philosophy, but all them things have to happen. If it don't happen, Rasta wouldn't write. It's the youth that do it. It's not our people. Jah say, when you call of my name, your mother, your father, your best friend, everyone turn against you just because you saw you say Rastafari is the Almighty. See, if I and I should go to church and baptize in the name of Jesus and accept the gift of the Holy Ghost and join the army of ignorance, I would get a whole heap of recognition. Maybe have a church by this time. According to my knowledge, philosophically, spiritually, and mentally, I could build a church. But true, if I get a church now, it's to go wake up the slumbering mentality of the youth them, who them try to brainwash and lead astray in blood clot fantasy and imagination. The world say I think subversive, but truthful rights I deal with, equal rights and justice, what I stand for, because I've got too much injustice for the good that I do. If I and I was doing wickedness, I'd kill up a whole heap of blood clot. You know, see? Yes, I. Them know that I'm doing goodness, so them fight against I. We talk about the police at the Dream concert, and he tells me how they flee when he begins to sing, quote, I see the mark of the beast on their ugly faces. I see them congregating in evil places. Me say me know them a wicked. His voice is as deep and fine as it is on his records. He chuckles, quote, some people who only know my deep voice, who have never seen me, think I'm a great big guy, end quote. He speaks fervently about Marcus Garvey, who once said he'd like to be a flea on the neck of the white and the black down presser. Tosh incorporates that line in the tune Down Presser Man on the Equal Rights album. The gorgeous scenery on the road to Runaway Bay continues to take my breath away. Tosh remarks, show me another place so beautiful in the West. Show me. The beauty of nature is why I have my car this color. I ask him what he does when he's not touring. He smiles when he says, quote, get in my car and drive the country to get some fresh air. Go fishing, or me go with a countryman to catch some birds and catch a mongoose and all them Kenya, you know? Or go sit down and reason with a whole bunch of youth. Or stay home and lock up in the house, just isolate and talk to no one on a calm level. Sometimes I don't want to see no one because my spirit is a very high spirit. And you have certain people who come around you, spirit low, belittle, and give your spirit a fight, he chuckles. We can't fight the physical and the spiritual at the same time. People in passing cars honk their horns, recognizing him. He honks back and yells, my back shock's bad, he laughs. Now we enter an area of huge green trees whose branches overlap the highway. This is Fern Gully, he tells me. It is a green paradise with interlocking tree branches kissing each other high above us. We stop here to take pictures and buy bananas, pineapples, and mangoes. Once in Runaway Bay, we stash my bags in the cabin, then take a walk down to the Caribbean Sea. Peter sits on a log near the water's edge, eating a mango and looking out over the water, as though reflecting on a mission that he has to be about. He remarks, after his pensive repose, that he is anxious to get back home to make some red pea soup, then muses, I must come here, just me and my guitar. Yes, ma'am. We walk to the car. I take a couple of shots of him next to his emblemed, shiny car, while he stands with the car door open, a towel thrown over his left shoulder. So we say our farewell. He gets in and drives off, feeling a little melancholy, not wanting to see him leave. I stand here watching him speed away, thinking in a capsule form about his whole Jamaican scene I've experienced with Tosh. Fish, fruit, birds and green, his greenhouse, green car, green parrot, red, gold, and green fence, and how perfectly they all fit together. Quote, green is of the earth, he had remarked. I think of him rising in Spanish Town at 6 a.m., riding out to the country to check someone, then stopping back at his home. I see him feeding his 9 birds, making juices, washing the dirt and dust off of his car, taking a nap, playing guitar, cooking some corn barley stuff, smoking his powerful herb chalice, enjoying his parrot Freddy and his other pets. I think of him alone in the beautiful and lovely places by the beach, where he goes to sit with his guitar and listen to the tree frogs, crickets, and the ocean. Peter Tosh is flashing his winning smile and clean teeth he said he gets by the mango and fresh pineapple like you come across upon the road. As I watch his shimmering little green harness speeding away, disappearing in the distance, thoughts race across my mind. Peter Tosh, speedy, wild, free, early riser, businessman, organic juicer, health food maker, roots man, rebel, bird man, bird wrapping, junkie kitchen, pipe smoking, quiet, friendly, smiling, pensive, rambunctious, brutalized, karate loving stepping razor, and his, quote, little bit, end quote, of egocentricity. Then I hear his words in my ear, quote, I will never leave the heart of Jamaica. I sit by the water's edge, and write. Birdman flies in the sky in his mind's eye. Freddy atop his head, exchanging herb and chat. Knowing his reality, it compels him to condemn iniquity. Jar within his spirit, message to give to all who will hear it. Endure some turmoil and torture in this earthly land. Survived, he knows there is a divine plan. Pawpaw in the fridge, Lord, how I long to roam the backyards, the back roads of yard again.
In this world to live up to your expectations, neither are you here to live up to mine. Yeah, I don't owe no one, no obligation, no one owe me none, so everything is fine. I said I am that I am, I am, I am, I am, I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am. Don't underestimate my ability. Don't definite my character. Don't belittle my authority. It's time you recognize my quality. I said I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I said I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am, I am, I am.
Learn to love, to love your brother. Don't covet your neighbor. Flee from the city, it's getting shitty. It is full of antiquity. I said I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am the rock of ages, you cannot move by at all. I am the son of lightning, you cannot move by at all. Son of Jacob, cannot be moved at all. I am the son of Moses, you can move by at all. I am the son of David, you cannot move at all. I'm firm like thunder, you cannot move at all. You the shit motive, you cannot move at all. You could have full of evil, you cannot move at all. You could have try more nothing, you cannot move at all. You try and lick a something that can move by at time. It could have come with his end, it can move by
at time. Great pictures there in my mind as you're reading that. Great pictures.
Great. That's what I wanted to do.
Oh, you do certainly do that with your writing. Just a couple more questions. Is there more pictures that you've unreleased, and do you think you'll ever release them in some kind of photographic type book or anything?
Are there more pictures that I have not released
that
were not in the book? There might be a few more.
Okay.
Yeah, there's one particular one that I meant to put in the book, and it didn't. I forgot. It's the one of him with Freddie on his hand, and Freddie is smoking the pipe, and Peter has on like his military outfit with his tam on, and you know, everything is so green and yellow and everything, and Freddie's on his hand or his wrist or his arm, and Peter's got his pipe in Freddie's mouth, and Freddie's smoking it. Funny. I just wish I had known. When I put this book together, I did not know Photoshop, and I did not know about the paperweight and stuff like that, because all of the pictures in here are really sharp, but because of the paperweight and because I could have done a little bit more with contrast and stuff, some of them come kind of soft, but they're all sharp pictures, you know?
One other question was, I heard that you were surprised about James Wilson when you met him, the reggae collector.
About who?
James Wilson. You were a little surprised to find that he was white?
Not James. I was surprised to find that Adrian Booth was white.
Ah, Adrian Booth, okay.
Yeah, it's weird. James was here one day. It's so funny, because he came by here when I was working on putting the pictures in the book, you know, putting it together. And so now he says, because he saw one of the pictures, he said, well, you got to put that one in the book, right? And I said, yeah, I'm planning to do that. But I saw somewhere on one of the Google pieces that I saw, right, that he says he was a consultant on my book. I was like, that's really funny. Very funny.
Fakisha, your book, Get Up, Stand Up, Story of Bob Marley and Peter Tosh, is not available. It's been a few years since it was last printed. What's the story there? Do you think that will... do you think you could get that printed again? Or I actually like the suggestion after hearing you read the book in an audio form. I would love to hear a complete book on audio and actually have some kind of picture little booklet go with it. How would that go in today's technology?
I would love to do that if I had someone who was willing to work with me to put that together. I really would love to do that. Many people have asked me that. And I would love to do it.
So if someone is out there listening and they're able to help you?
Sure, I'd be interested.
Sounds good.
You know? Yeah, or someone who might want to get it published in their country, you know? I'd be interested in, you know, working on something out with my lawyer and their lawyers or whatever, that we could arrange for that to happen.
I know it'd be great. I know there's many people that don't have your book and would love to have it, so that would be something that could be worked on.
Yeah, I'd love to put it out again, and you know, I'd love to tighten it up, you know, put it out again and you know, tighten it up a little bit more than in the second printing, you know. The same content, though. We'll do the same content. But I would make the pictures a whole lot sharper and whatever, you know.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside, they are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad.
Thanks for being tuned into the Reggae Culture Show tonight. I hope you enjoyed that chapter reading of Fekesha on the life of Peter Tosh and her times that she spent with him. A little bit more with Fekesha as we wrap up this interview. Up before Psalm 14, we had a track that Peter did, Man's Greatest Adventure. That's been pretty rare. So you've had a listen to that tonight. That was done in 1969 as Man Landed on the Moon. Peter recorded that track. Up before that, we had I Am That I Am, the Shah Jah Shocker dub plate mix, which has just recently come out on the Legacy Editions. Now back to our interview with Fekesha. It's been 30 years since Bob passed, and I think it's 24 years since Peter passed. Any closing thoughts?
Well, you know, I have a picture of Bob that sits right by my computer, and I have a picture of Peter sitting on at that railroad track looking over his shoulder at me in my bedroom. So I see these guys every day. It was great when I was writing the book because I put on their music and that's what I played the whole time I worked on the book. So it was a wonderful experience. It was great to be able to especially let Peter have a voice because there were so few people who knew of Peter, you know? I mean, I'll ask someone now who knows Get Up, Stand Up. And they know who Bob Marley is, but they've never heard of Peter Tosh. So it was great for me to let more people know about Peter. And it was great to be able to have the book titled Get Up, Stand Up, because that's where those two great souls were about. They were very spiritual, very nice guys. And it's unfortunate that people see Peter as the angry man all the time. Because he really wasn't angry all the time. Just from me reading to you what I read, the trip through Jamaica, I hope you kind of got a feel of who this guy is.
Definitely got a clearer picture. Definitely got a clearer picture.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that's good. I'm very glad about that. That makes this whole interview very special for me because I want people to, you know, because when I see Peter, I see him smiling. You know? That's you know, he really smiled more. He's very polite. You know, he would always introduce me to, you know, if he was with whomever, you know, he would always introduce me to whoever was there, you know. Very polite guy.
Well, I would like to thank you today, Fekesha, for your time. It's been great hearing about Bob Marley and also hearing about Peter Tosh, and I appreciate everything that you've shared, your book reading, and all the information that you've given our listeners today.
I'm sorry my voice gave out on me. You know, I haven't had to sit and read that much, talk that much for a long time. And I look forward to hearing what you do. And I would definitely look forward to getting some of the emails. I appreciate that.
All right, appreciate you. Thank you for your time today, Fekesha.
Okay, thank you, Alan, and good luck down there and down under.
As we say, one love.
One love.
Really? not all that glitter is gold, and half a story has never been told. So now we see the light, we gonna stand up for our rights. Come on, get up, stand up, brothers, stand up for your rights. Come on, get up, stand up, sisters, don't give up the fight. I'm begging you to get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, I said don't give up the fight. Skies and take away every little thing and left everybody dry. But if you know what life is worth, you would look for yours right here on earth. And now we see the light, we gonna stand up for our rights. Come on, get up, stand up, don't make them push you around. Stand up for your rights. Come on, brothers, get up, stand up, be brave now, don't give up the fight. I say get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Don't let them hold you down. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight. You're sick and tired of this game of technology, humbly asking Jesus for his mercy. Living man, you fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all of the time. And now we see the light, we gonna stand up for our rights. Come on, get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Come on, our brothers, get up, stand up. I said, don't give up the fight. Don't let them push you.
I had to tell you a funny story before you go.
Okay.
It was not so funny, but it was... I decided, since I knew Peter liked fish, and he was in Brooklyn, and so I decided to have a dinner party. And so I invited some of my friends, and Peter was coming in with Ozzy, and everything. So I decided to cook this dinner. Okay, so I started, and I hadn't really eaten that much fish. So I started cooking this fish and stuff. And Peter was, they were a little late getting there, and the fish was still cooking, and I didn't know when the fish was done. And so I'm thinking that the fish is all, it's just taking so long to cook. But actually, something was wrong with the oven. And the fish probably never did really cook well. And so what Peter did was, yes, this old sorry fish just stayed very white and by now very dry. And everybody else, you know, Peter and everybody else ate politely around it. That was just so funny now that I think about it, you know. I'm calling myself cooking some fish, and I was messing up all the time. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Fakisha. I appreciate you taking the time to do this interview.
Okay, so let me know in time so I can have my friends and family tune into it. So make a note on Facebook that it's coming on.
Thank you so much for your time and your information.
Okay, Alan. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning into the Reggae Culture Show. Thanks for your ears. Again, this week, episode number 16. Really appreciate Fakisha's time doing the interview. We also have another part to this with a Bob Marley special, which we'll feature at another time. We had a track before, Get Up Stand Up, alternative version from the Equal Rights Legacy Edition. Once again, support the Peter Tosh estate, legalize it, and both Equal Rights have been reissued. Four CDs in that collection for the Legacy Edition. Now, I have a giveaway tonight. Simple question, let me know who my guest was tonight, and I have Peter Tosh Legalize It CD. It is only the remastered one, it's not the legacy one. But if you live in New Zealand and you would like a copy of that, if you do not own that, contact us at the Reggae Culture Show at www.communityradio.co.nz. Find the Reggae Culture Show, email us there, let us know who tonight's guest was, and that will be your copy. Next week's guest is a special guest all the way from France to coincide with the Rugby World Cup here in New Zealand at the moment. New Zealand plays France next week, so we're going to have a France special. We're going to be talking to Doc Reggae. So I'm telling you, you will not want to miss next week's special. There is some great stuff speaking with Doc Reggae or Bruno Bloom. So you're going to want to come back next week. We're going to wrap up tonight's show with an acoustic by Bob and Peter singing in 1968, and the Lord sent me from Zion. Catch you next week. Thanks again for tuning in to Reggae Culture Show.
Get the word on your region with the Waikato Times. The Saturday edition includes a full Community Radio Hamilton program listing for the coming week, featuring more than 100 programs by, for, and about our community. Plus, catch up on the latest local, national, and international news in the Waikato Times, as Waikato as it gets.
We'll be jamming every Thursday night on the Reggae Culture Show from 9:30. Your place, Community Radio Hamilton.
Our volunteer broadcasters make their voices heard every day, right here at your place, Community Radio Hamilton.